to do anything beyond the concerns you raised in this statement you put out today?
Yes. So we have just called a leadership meeting, and we want to check with Cocoa Board and then agree on when we can have a quick meeting to understand why they have chosen this route and how sustainable that is. Now, Evans, just quickly to end it, I think the question we should be asking is, if Cocoa Board is not going to take the external loan, where is it going to get the financing from?
But the reporting
if
suggests
Cocoa
that
Board
they want to go
had
to
a management arrangement where they have been able to put in place enough financial funds themselves, or can source local funds in a way that the price, the cost, is lower than what they would have otherwise going to take, and that there's a guaranteed source of that fund to be able to purchase this year's cocoa, then we are in good business. And that, you can clap hands for that policy. But if you cannot answer the question of where the financing is going to come from, and you and I already know that that financing is going to come from traders like Olam and the rest. And then when the beans come in, Olam and the rest will simply take the beans. So Cocoa Board has no role anymore.
Dr. Giselle, thank you very much. And that there is Dr. Godfred Seydou Giselle. He's a deputy ranking member, Food and Cocoa Affairs in Parliament. And still listening to us here on Joy 99.7 FM. A news night starts right now.
And it's 8 days to the Joy News National Dialogue on defending media freedom ahead of the December polls. Welcome to Newsnight. Tonight, Attorney General orders the payment of a whopping $111.4 million to oil conglomerate Trafigura, while dismissing minorities' claims that his actions or inactions led to the causing of financial loss to Ghana.
And if you owe somebody money and you do not pay, the person will find means of extracting payment from you. They might tell you, as a tenure, there has not been a single judgment debt. Many a time, the NDC are quick to say that all those achievements are nothing.
We have details of that. Plus, tonight, massive destruction of farm crops in 8 regions of Ghana following the onset of dry spell in the country. Details as the Agric Minister announces measures to prevent a total drought in the country.
Inti a free Bono East, Bono OT, and the 5 northern regions, Radio. A Kafono do Bonano, or Munobayeno, I say.
We have details. Plus, in our climate focus series, government faces mounting pressure from environmentalists to kickstart a new sea defense project in Keta as the coastlines rapidly vanish.
The erosion has been very, very precarious.
Government is delayed. I don't know the reason why. There's no time to waste. If we don't act fast, we are going to lose the whole place.
And much later also in this edition.
People say all sort of things. You don't have any information, but this is what you say from my former office up to here. If anybody think that I've given money to Abeji to bribe him in order to be lenient on them.
Public Accounts Committee refutes allegations of bribery and corruption and blames Clerk of Parliament for failing to forward referred cases for further prosecution to the Attorney General's office since 2017.
One day, when the Attorney General appeared before the committee, I asked, we have made a number of referrals for prosecution. Tell us what action you are doing or you have taken on them. Then he said nothing has been communicated to his office.
Business economist Dr. Patrick Kisumi describes as prudent Cocoa Board decision to halt external fundraising program for cocoa purchases this year.
And Sports apologize for your misleading comments. Sports Ministry makes fresh demands to GBC following the controversy about payment to the state broadcaster for the coverage of the 2023 African Games.
I believe that the Director General, in his interview where he created the impression that the minister misinformed the public, should apologize.
And then much later.
If you are waiting to be rich before you marry, your head is not working. You don't want to marry, but you are sleeping together. Be bold. Marry. Set the date. If you are afraid of veil, don't veil. If you are afraid of gown, don't gown.
Well, that advice, that's generating a lot of talk among the youth. What do you think? You want to join us with your thoughts? Your comment is via WhatsApp 055-1111-997. We are live on X Spaces. We are on Facebook, myjoyonline.com. Also live on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi. We are back with details after this break.
Everybody likes money, but what do we like more than money?
Money!
Join the Telecel More Money promo and win money,
more money,
and even more money. Simply opt in for free and reload your mobile and broadband and be the lucky winner of the 1 million Ghana cedis grand prize. Also win cash prizes of up to 3 million Ghana cedis in the daily and weekly draws. Opt in for free by dialing *500# or send win to 500, or you can opt in on the Telecel Play app. The more you reload, the higher chances of winning in the Telecel More Money promo. Keep loading, win, and be a millionaire.
Telecel, connecting energies.
Terms and conditions apply. This promo is regulated by the NLA on the Caritas Lottery platform.
Ajay. Couldn't sleep at night. Mosquitoes will be whining, whining my ears. Bugging me all night long. Till I got a remedy. Now I'll be spraying them away with holy insecticide spray. I go spray them away with holy insecticide spray. When I sleep, I sleep. Madonna, Madonna, with holy insecticide spray.
Holy mosquito quell, holy multi-purpose insecticide spray. Ghana Krum Krum. For bulk purchase, call 0302-681582. This advert is FDA approved.
Hello, my name is Mami Akia, an entrepreneur and a mother of two. My work keeps me busy most of the time, and sometimes it takes me away from my family. But the safety and health of my family is very important to me. As a working mother, I cannot afford to take any chances when it comes to matters of health. That is why I signed up for a family healthcare plan from Equity Health Insurance. My family and I have access to over 700 hospitals, clinics, opticians, dentists, pharmacies, and diagnostic centers across the length and breadth of Ghana. With Equity Health Insurance, I no longer have to worry about medical bills. Anytime a member of my family visits a hospital, Equity Health Insurance has got my family and I covered. What about you? Who has got you covered?
Call Equity Health Insurance on 050-660-7910 and talk to them about your family health needs now. Visit equityhealthinsurance.com for more information. Equity Health Insurance, here for you.
Do you want a healthy smile?
Are missing teeth affecting your confidence? Dental implants could be the solution. Hi, I'm Tanya from Bethel Dental Clinic, Ghana, and I'm here to tell you about the amazing benefits of dental implants. If you're missing teeth or struggling with uncomfortable dentures, dental implants could be the solution you've been looking for. Implants are a special metal screw placed in the jawbone where the tooth or teeth used to be. After a while, this screw or implant fuses seamlessly with the jawbone, providing stability and durability. Dental implants look, feel, and function just like the natural teeth, giving you freedom to eat, speak, and laugh without worry. Bethel Dental Clinic, the smile starts here.
Healthy smile.
Thanks for staying with us here on Newsnight, here on Joy 99.7 FM. I am Emefa Apau, and I'm here with Evans Mensah. Now, let's talk about the situation when it comes to farms and the onset of dry spell across some 8 regions. And the Agric Minister tonight, Brian Echampong, says its preliminary assessment reveals massive destruction of farm crops in 8 regions following that onset of the dry spell that we've been talking about. The prolonged lack of rain has left farms parched and crops with it. Some farmers in the northern regions say they are struggling to salvage their dwindling harvest. Take a listen.
Really, it's pathetic because after the tractor came to plow and I put the condemn, then I saw just a slight rain came and the maize started germinating. And since then,
we have never seen this at all. This year is the first time of our this thing. We have never seen this kind of thing again. Mm-hmm. And even because of this, Last, was it 3 days today? They made all the Muslims to pray. They some prayed in town, and then they went to the town park, prayed, but still.
First, I applied first because of the rain. I didn't get it well. So Tata applied second one. So
you applied for the second time?
I applied the second time. So the same thing, the rain. That is why the thing bend like that. So I was planning, maybe the rain now, maybe by all means. So I'll get some small.
You want to plan for the third time?
Yeah, no. Applied the second time with that. Yes, it's affect my package. So first I buy the seeds. So I apply first. I couldn't get it clear. So I buy another one. So now my packet is dry. That is why you see the farm look like that.
Well, the Agric Minister has been touring some of the affected areas. He's assuring that government will soon roll out measures to cushion farmers bearing the brunt of the unfavorable weather conditions.
We received weekly reports on the state of the dry spell in the northern regions. Before the farming season began, the meteorological agency informed us of the onset of the dry spell, but we didn't anticipate it would last this long or impact crop production to this extent. In Bono East, Bono, Oti, and the five northern regions, farmers' crops have been destroyed. As a ministry, we must intervene and assist the farmers who lost their crops due to the dry spell.
So that's the Agric Minister, Brian Echampon, there. You also heard earlier some farmers. Let's get some better understanding of what exactly is happening in these regions that the minister talks about. The public relations officer for the Agric Ministry is Tanko Bagbara. And thankfully, he joins us on the line. We are grateful for your time. So paint a picture of what really the minister found during this tour of these areas.
Yes, thank you for this opportunity and good evening to your listeners. Yes, so the minister in the company of the chief director and the minister for finance were out there on the field. MNE and the statistics and research director of the ministry have also been deployed to other parts of the northern region for us to have a fair assessment of the state of the dry spell. And all these will inform the sort of measures that will be put in place. In the coming days, the Honorable Minister will be communicating the hope that government intends to bring to farmers for us to be able to restore them to their livelihood.
Give me some clarity. How many regions really are affected by this dry spell?
Yes, so far reports gathered from the regional departments of agriculture indicates that 8 regions, Oti, Bono East, Upper East, Northern Region, the Savannah, and then the Northeastern region, Northeast region. So 8 regions have been affected. And as we would have seen, even on social media, the pictures circulating, some farms, even if it rains today, will not restore the crop back to life. It means there is total and complete loss of crops as a result of this dry spell. That notwithstanding, the ministry earlier in a few weeks ago started advising farmers not to carry on some agronomic practices, such as application of fertilizer, some weedicides, and then adopt better cropping practices. If possible, use drought-resistant varieties in the case of those who have plowed and were not able to put the seed into the soil.
Mr. Bagbara, farms in 8 out of 16 regions affected by this dry spell. I am concerned. Farmers may have lost their crops, but really, how safe are we in terms of food security?
Yes, I wouldn't be in a position to speak about food security now until the total assessment is carried out and some figures put to the loss. And based on that, the sector will be able to, as it were, make a determination if we will run into crisis in terms of food supplies. But like I said, certainly government will not sit for us to get to that point. And in the coming days, we will communicate hope to our farmers and communicate hope to Ghanaians.
But in the midst of all this, though, farmers in parts of the northern region, at least some of the northern regions up north, are facing some double jeopardy. We are told about the Bagri Dam spillage, amongst others. It appears that even though they've been hit by the dry spell, they will lose everything totally once the Bagri Dam spillage kicks in. What exactly is government doing to help such farmers as well?
Yes, so we've had reports this spillage is already causing havoc. And farmers are counting losses. So these natural.
You conclude on that, Bagmara?
But the ministry has said will definitely put in place some interventions to ensure that lives and livelihoods are restored.
You're not able to tell me the immediate interventions?
For now, we'll not be able to put forward any intervention. But
why?
Like I said, the minister will communicate that.
Why?
Well, I will not want to preempt.
Well, that's Tanko Bagmara, is the public relations officer for the Agric Ministry.
Let's get further clarity on what is happening in that part of the country. 8 regions in total. Mm-hmm. Let's bring in right now Smith Wayo Mahama. He's a Tamale Technical University lecturer there, has been following the developments very closely. Also joining us is Francesca Marte, the head of research and applied meteorology at the Met Agency. She's also the deputy director there. Gentlemen, thanks for your time here on Newsnight. Mr. Mama, thanks for your time. And from what we're witnessing in these 8 regions, you study this terrain quite extensively. Is this unprecedented?
Let me start by saying good evening to you and listeners. I want to, just for starters, I want to say that what we are experiencing this year somewhat is quite new, though in time past we have experienced similar situations. Now, I actually suspected this was going to be the case during the heat season. The heat at the time was just so unbearable and was at an all-time high. So I could hazard a guess that we're going to suffer very low precipitations. And so for me, when it actually started, I wasn't very much surprised about it, except to say that it is a sad and unfortunate incident. And so for me, for starters, it is a new thing, quite unprecedented, to say in your very own words. And we should quickly find out ways by which we can address this problem as soon as possible, because it poses a serious threat to the country at large.
And
given that eight regions, and when you take these 8 regions out of the 16 regions, they are the leading food suppliers, or our food basket is greatly dependent on these 8 regions, especially from the Bono area coming down. And so if all these regions are part of it, then there is danger looming us in the face, to say the least.
What's your assessment on what this will mean for food security?
Yes, so to be fair, so on the issue of food security, like I just stated ab initio, the fact is that 8 regions having to suffer this means automatically, inadvertently, that our food production this year is going to take a nosedive. We are plummeting, we are going down this year because many farms are not doing well. The spillage has come to worsen even the situation. And so moving into next year, we would experience some level of food shortage. And that brings to mind the issue of high levels of importation of even staple food in the country. And I mean, your guess is as good as mine. You can imagine what it's going to do to the Ghanaian city moving forward. So as for food, moving forward next year, there'll be some level of shortage because our food basket is going to suffer.
I want to bring in Francesca Marte. Francesca is the head of research and applied meteorology, the deputy director to the Met Agency. Francesca,
The weather currently is proving quite challenging for people there, and as we've just heard that this is unprecedented. What's the Met Agency's prediction going forward? Is this going to improve anytime soon?
Oh, yes. Good evening to our listeners. So, it's going to improve. We have just finished for the minor season. And in the minor season, we forecasted for the minor season for the south that we are going to have the dry spell would lessen, and then they are going to have a shorter dry spell within the minor season. For the coastal places, and then the middle belt up to this place, we expect to have a normal to late precipitation, and then the amount of rainfall we expect to have normal to long, above normal rainfall.
So for these eight regions of the north, you expect that the weather will change for the better, some rains will come in soon?
Oh, yes.
When are you predicting this will kick in?
This has started. It has actually started.
In fact, we're hearing reports of some flooding, too, in some parts of the eight regions.
Yes.
You expect
In the beginning, for the south, major season for the south, we forecasted late onset, early season. So it was giving us a shorter length of season. And then within that, we're forecasting long dry spell, which actually happened. And for the north, it was the same. But for the extreme northern fringes, we were expecting normal to above rainfall. And so it is now occurring, and that's the flooding we are seeing.
So, is the dry spell over?
Some places can have patches, but for the minor season, yes, we are going to have shorter dry spells.
And with the onset of the rains, how heavy is it going to be? Because we're already hearing reports of floods. Is it also going to cause havoc?
Or for the north, it's one long season. But for the short, 8 degrees and below, that's when we have two seasons, the major and the minor. So for the north, there's a continuation of the rainfall.
For farmers who are listening to you right now, what advice do you have for them with the onset of the rains?
So for the farmers who are listening, when we go there, we go with crop research specialists, we go with the MOFA directors and their AEAs to give the advices. So we don't go alone and just give rainfall and leave. It is a whole bouquet of advices that we give them. So now we are expecting the rainfall to come, but we have a shorter season left by October, November. The season is coming to an end for them. So again, with this rain, we would have to find variety which have shorter span to be able to stand the rest of the rainfall.
And there's a conversation now about what interventions government can put in place now to mitigate the impact. Any suggestions?
From where we are going, as we are getting the floods, the major thing is to get our people irrigation systems. But that will be a long term, but that is the way forward.
Francesca, thank you very much. Francesca Marti, the head of research and applied meteorology at the Met Agency, so the deputy director there. And we'll be having a conversation about the impact of this on food security. Eight regions tonight, if you're just joining us, have been hit by prolonged drought. We've heard from the technical expert who's telling us that this is unprecedented. They haven't seen this extent of dry spell
in the 8 northern regions before. And thankfully, Francesca Marte with the Met Agency saying that the dry spell is over, the rainy season is approaching, but it's also causing...
But can the farmers salvage their goods? It's also the key.
Fundamental question. Yeah. Let's bring in the Executive Director of the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana, Bismarck Owusu. Bismarck, thank you for your time here on Newsnight. Give us a sense of the extent of farmlands affected by the prolonged drought.
Yeah, hello, Evans, and good evening to our listeners. Well, as at last week, when we put out this information regarding the extent of drought, we're looking at a lot of farmlands around the upper west region, almost all the farming districts over there. We're looking at the northern region, savannah region. We're looking at part of the upper east region, because apparently there's some part of upper east that will enjoy some good rains. And then we're looking at areas around the transitional zones. So the Bono, the Ahafo, and then the Bono East area too, we also have some spells of low rain. Just about a few days ago, about 2 or 3 days ago, we were getting reports from our farmers that they were experiencing some rains in this part of the country. I know as of yesterday, we had some rains around northern Ghana, northern region, around upper west, upper east, and part of the Bono region. But the issue is that for some of the farms, the rains are not enough to salvage their level of growth. Most of them have failed. You know, normally when you plant, there's a point in time where the plant needs a lot of rain for it to mature and for you to be able to apply your chemical, your fertilizers. Some of the plants have gone past that stage and they have been stunted. So no matter how well it rains, there's no way those plants can be salvaged. There are others too that they are at the point of producing their crops. And at that point, they would have needed some rain to be able to give you the right yield. Because of the delay, they are also not expecting to get good yield from those crops. So you could tell that even though it has some rain, they are not enough to salvage the situation. Because 1 month or 2 months of no rain is quite a long time for the plant not to be able to grow well.
Ms. Anote, I'm curious, are you able to give us numbers in terms of the farms and the farmers that have been affected in all this?
To be honest with you, when we started this exercise, we were trying to get the farmers to give us the number of acreages that were lost due to the crop failure. So initially, we were getting farmers who were posting their acres, some were 100, 80, and we're counting to the thousands of hectares. And we got to a point that, you know what, this exercise is a utility. It appears that most of the farming districts were affected. So we couldn't even count to that number because we realized that it was widespread. And if you look at the geography and then the dynamics of farming in Ghana, you realize that most of the crops that we consume, most of the staples that we consume, especially the maize, the rice, the cowpea, the vegetables that we consume, mostly are grown in this part of the country. That's the transitional and the savannah zones. So once there's a major shake in these areas, then the impact on people is quite severe.
And that's the shake that we are hoping we could get some more answers to. Considering what you've been able to produce over the period, do you think that we have enough to be able to cushion us in case there's a drought?
To be very honest with you, looking at the level of dry spell we experience and the level of crops that are failed, it will be quite difficult to assure the nation that farmers will be able to produce enough to meet the demands of the country. As I said, in the major season, we would have expected a lot of the crops should have been at the stages of either harvesting or so. But it appears that we didn't get that. And if the major districts that are producing these crops are not giving the yield due to the dry spell, then I can assure you that it is very difficult for us to be able to do. The only hope that we have is that once some of the rains have begun in some areas, the forecast indicates that it might continue for a while. So if farmers can quickly survey their situation and replant and with the expectation that the weather is quite favorable, then we can salvage the situation to a point. But if we are still experiencing this intermittent rain, then I'm afraid that the situation might be worse than we anticipate.
Is there a looming food shortage?
Currently, with how things are going, I can predict that price of food will be quite high. I can predict that we will have quite low productivity because we will not be able to get the needed yield as we desire. And I can predict that price of food will go up very high. So that I can predict.
We're grateful. That's Bismarck K. Usunote. He's the Executive Director of the Peasant Farmers Association. And that's the situation when it comes to food.
Mm. And you'll be going to the market, keeping an eye on this, particularly yam. I love yam. And you know yam comes from the north. And we've heard from the technical experts.
And your beans as well.
Both, of course. it's the breadbasket for Ghana, and so that is why it's raising quite a bit of a scare on this. Share your thoughts with me if you're affected by this and you're in one of the eight regions. Send us a WhatsApp 0551111997. And tonight there is controversy over who should be held responsible for the latest controversy surrounding the whopping $111.4 million dollars.
And that's something we'll get to shortly
against the Republic of Ghana by a district court in the United States of America. You've been hearing tonight from the Attorney General, and he'll be speaking to us on this also tonight. Business is here with the very latest too. Now, environmentalists are intensifying pressure on the government to begin work on the Keta coastlines to prevent the city's total collapse. They warn that the government's continued delay in starting sea defense projects in the Keta municipality could result in the complete destruction of the area within a few years. In 2022, the government secured approximately $150 million to protect three coastal communities, including Keta. However, a year later, environmentalists lament no visible progress. In the second part of today's climate series, Vanishing Shores of Keta, Carlos Caloni explores how rising sea levels are affecting tourism, revenue, and even the dead in the Keta municipality.
Apart from negative impact on housing and livelihood, the rising levels of the sea is negatively impacting tourism here in Keta. The owner of this facility tells me how devastating the recent tidal waves have been on his facility.
The cost is very tremendous. First, we are losing clients, so no income is coming. It's a loss. In my case, in an attempt to protect the facility from being destroyed totally, as I stand now, I spent close to $1 million to get this facility standing.
James Akoli is a former assemblyman and a tour guide of this fort.
The state of the fort now is due to the rising sea level at that time. In 1980, the sea came and destroyed part of the fort. Three-quarters of the fort have been washed into the sea. So it have declined the number of visitors that come into the fort.
At the Keta Municipal Assembly, officials lament climate change's devastating impact on revenue generation. Ransford Owusu is the assembly's finance officer.
Truly, this tidal wave things normally, when it do happen, affects the business premises of the various businesses along the coast, and it does affect our property rate collection and then the collection of business operating permit from the various businesses that are along the coast. When we go to the market for revenue mobilization, you see that a lot of the farmers which hitherto were coming to the market, they no more come again.
Despite these devastating challenges, many, including environmentalists, strongly believe practical steps can be taken to reverse the trend and protect lives, livelihoods, and property.
I believe that something can be done. With my own experience, by dumping these boulders, what I have seen, it can be done.
We have relied heavily on this rock sea defense protection, and that has really destroyed the marine environment and coastal biodiversity. Aside not being able to solve the problem, that we seek to resolve.
The new trend is about the hybrid, where we can do a little of what the rock and the boulders, they should do it. The hybrid gives them the opportunity to still have access to the beach and go on with their non-daily activities like fishing and farming.
In 2022, the World Bank approved a $246 million project to strengthen coastal resilience in West African countries, including the Gambia, Ghana, and the Guinea-Bissau. However, Joel and Fiatui believe the government's slow approach to the work shows it doesn't appreciate.
We are waiting for government to start doing the work along the Keta coast because of late, the erosion has been very, very precarious.
Government is delaying. I don't know the reason why. I'm sure it's the usual bureaucracy. There's no time to waste. If we don't act fast, we are going to lose the whole place.
The dead are equally paying a huge price. Solomon Kwasi, who died somewhere in 2021, his tomb is sinking, and he's just one of the thousands of tombs that are sinking due to the rising levels of the water. So apart from the living, the dead are equally paying a high price of the climate change impact here in the Keta municipality of the Volta region. My name is Carlos Caloni for Joy News.
And our Climate Focus series is brought to you by Youth Bridge Foundation and Climate and Development Knowledge Network. It's time for business. George Riafe, here with his new phone. George, what's up? What's in business?
Well, coming up in business, economist Dr. Patrick Osumi describes as prudent Cocoa's decision to halt external fundraising program for cocoa purchases this year. And Citi post first weekly appreciation against dollar in recent times as local currency continues with its good run. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Interstanks and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal.
The other day, I visited Kweku at his spunky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret? He said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
Shout! I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.gh and manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244-308-111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.
Hooray! Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited's back to school promotion is here with us once again. From August to September this year, Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited is giving a generous 10 to 20% discount on all school items like textbooks, pens, pencils, erasers, exercise books, and much more across all our branches in Accra, Tema, Kumasi, Takrade, Winneba, and Cape Coast. Parents, teachers, and students, please hurry while stocks last. For more information, call us on 0506-487-557 or 0302-764-209 or via email at info@kingdomgh.com. You can also visit our website www.kingdomstoreonline.com. Kingdom Books, where quality and affordability are both assured. Terms and conditions apply.
We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. I'm on for. We don't want to see the brain. We need some more. Maybe more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mama lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
They're luckiest.
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah.
Wake up,
and now for four. A dial is *712# and found no regrets. A side comma investors are a striking goal. A comma health workers are a diagnosis lack with precision. A side comma that tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. They say a comma passionate farmer on also entering containing a joy. A fair to the seamstress or turning a hard end stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, a comma, if you say your next big win is right here.
*712# and join the luckiest winning celebration. From the 1st of July 2024, dial *712# to keep buying tickets as a group, individual, or even as a community. Win loads of cash and prizes in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712#. Join the winning streak now.
The luckiest.
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah, the luckiest.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, economist Dr. Patrick Osimhen has described as prudent decision by Cocoa Board to hold the external fundraising program for cocoa purchases. Cocoa Board at a news conference yesterday announced that it will not be turning to the international market for its loan syndication to buy beans for the 2004-2005 crop season. And Dr. Osimhen notes that this decision couldn't have come at a better time.
My only wonder is why We have been going through this for long, and we didn't do this early. I'm sure there could be, you know, especially at the beginning, there could be some challenges. But I think whatever support that can be provided to Cocoa Board to make this work, we should let it happen. Because this is the best and affairs from Cocoa Board.
Prof, there are some who think that Cocoa Board is being forced to do this because they have been rejected, they have actually been rejected by international banks or not so good financial position.
Well, it seems like that might be the case. If you look at the trouble that we had last year getting the syndicated done, and then also the problem that the cocoa production itself has suffered. I think you could see that maybe Cocoa Board's hand has been somewhat forced. But for me, that's not the point. I think hard times should force you to make long-lasting reforms. And so as far as I'm concerned, whether it's because they're struggling to raise the funds or whatever they got here, we are here. And I think that's the most important thing.
Economist Dr. Patrick Osimhen speaking to my colleague Winston Taki. Now, the city recorded one of its first appreciation against the dollar in recent times. When you track the local currency's performance in the first third week of this month to that of the second week of this month. But what is driving this good run? There is more in this report.
Based on data picked up from some of the major commercial banks, the city had gone up by some 0.13% against the dollar when you compare its performance in third week of first month against the second week. The development showed that the city's appreciation has moved from the daily appreciation to more of a weekly improvement. But there are some who don't want to link it to the fundamentals of the economy picking up, but rather an improvement in the supply situation. This is because the Bank of Ghana has been very active on the market over the past week. Others also think that the dollar has also lost the value on the international market, and that is what is feeding into the recent gains of the city. So if the dollar starts appreciating on the international market, that will not be good for the city. It also appears demand for dollars has also slowed a little bit, and all these developments are impacting on the Ghana city.
And that is a Business Dex report. Now, the Minister of State at the Finance Ministry, Abinah Osei-Asare, is insisting that the revenue measures proposed by the new Patriotic Party candidate, Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, will improve compliance and rake in more revenue. According to the minister, the proposed reforms will not affect the current IMF program, but actually what country is collecting when it comes to the domestic revenue base. She spoke at the 12th Annual International Tax Conference in Accra.
And in encouraging people to comply with these taxes, you don't necessarily have to increase taxes, but then you broaden the base. Once you broaden the base, if you broaden the base and you even tweak your taxes downwards, it can go a long way to improve and then raise revenue. So that is what we are focused on this time, promoting more of efficient measures to increase the taxes. And that is why we want to hammer more on the digitalization aspects.
Let's focus on other stories. And the Director of Human Resource Development and Mentorship at the Ghana Employers Association, Yvonne Asariabua, is urging human resource participants to leverage on artificial intelligence to provide flexible working arrangement for females to excel in their roles. According to her, the full participation of women in the workplace creates value for the organization, hence the need to provide them with this flexible and adaptive working condition. She spoke at the FEND Women in HR conference in Accra, where she encouraged more young entrepreneurs to also explore this avenue.
I think that we need a lot of education. We need a lot of empowerment, empowering both the males and the females in order to do that. We also have to implement some flexible working arrangements. You know, things are changing with AI and all of that. We need to also look at the way we address issues, especially for females, because of the biological role that we play. Sometimes it's a bit difficult. Sometimes women are even not able to take certain leadership positions because at 3 I have to pick my child from school. But if you are able to implement or develop certain flexible arrangements for them, that it will help them also give up their best.
And you had a director at the Ghana Employers Association there sharing her thoughts about how we can explore AI to recover or grow the workplace. Now let's hear from the Association of LPG Marketers, and its vice president is actually rejecting reports that they are working to stop loading or products from the turbo plant, which could have affected the plant in that area.
We are very much aware of the national security implication of not lifting the LPG from our country. And we are very, very, very responsible association. And we don't want to put this nation under any national security threat. There is nowhere we have mentioned at trouble. So we are surprised, we were shocked when he kept on ranting and trying to press the panic button, trying to call on national security. National security is a very noble institution. They call us all the time, we explain our issues to them, and they understand. Again, we have never said anywhere that we are not lifting gas from Sage Petroleum at Atwabo. Our letter was specific to Tema depots. We didn't mention Atwabo. And the time for us to even go back to Atwabo is 26, which is not ripe yet. So why is he jumping the gun? But those ones at Tema that we specify, we are not going to do business with. And nothing will change that standard. Wow, there are a lot of about 6 or 7 BDCs that are selling LPG. And since we boycotted them on the 12th, there's still a lot of LPG in the system for all of us to load. There is no shortage of LPG in town. So those two companies, nobody should deceive you that boycotting those two depots at Tema will create any shortage.
Gabriel Kumi is the vice president of the LPG Market Association, rejecting reports that they are planning to extend their boycott of not lifting products from the two bulk distributors to the Atwabo plant. And that's all for business on Newsnight.
Hey, George, thank you very much. And we can now do sports. And Ms. Bowers here with the latest.
Yeah, hello, Evans. Well, the sports ministry is demanding an apology from the director general of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation for suggesting that the sports minister misled the public regarding a $3.6 million payment for the coverage of the 2023 African Games. The minister informed the Public Accounts Committee that over $3 million had been paid to GBC. However, GBC's Director General, Professor Amin Al-Hassan, expressed surprise, claiming they received only $105,000. The ministry, in response, has presented documents, including contracts and payment instructions, showing over $2 million was paid directly to GBC, with an additional $1 million disbursed to third parties. Now, Jamaluddin Abdullah is the executive assistant to the sports minister.
We do not have issues with regards to GB, we have not seen any contrary facts that says that GBC claims we have not fulfilled our part of the bargain. And on this note, I believe that the Director General, in his interview, where he created the impression that the minister misinformed the public, should apologize. Because the evidence that is out there, I've seen people have intercepted documents, letters that were written by the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, signed by the professor himself to the Ministry of Defense Force, demanding for payments, which the ministry obliged. Mm. So with the evidence available and the evidence in the public domain, I believe we should be asking the Director General questions.
That's Jamaluddin Abdullah, the executive assistant to the sports minister. Now, GBC is dispelling claims that some of the technicians who worked on the games have still not been paid. They insist that there are no outstanding payment and that all the workers were paid 100 cedis daily. The statement was directed to the Public Accounts Committee. And joining us on phone is the chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, James Kluge Avagi. Honourable, based on the document that GBC has submitted to the Public Accounts Committee, are you satisfied with the explanation relating to this very issue?
Well, thank you very much. Ivan, the issue actually is about a public interest question which was asked by Honorable Sam George. It is not part of the Auditor General's report, but our work extends to the area where it is an question that border on the public, that public need to know. We allow this question to be asked. So I allow some judge to ask this question. Now, listening to the answer the youth minister, the youth and sports minister gave, and then also listening to the interview that the Director General of GBC granted, Director General of GBC did not say anything to mean that the amount paid to them is not up to 3.6 billion. I think he confirmed that. So what the Minister for Youth and Sport told the committee was true, that per the record, Ministry of Youth and Sport paid 3.6 million to GBC. Now, according to the letter also issued by the Minister of Youth and Sport, over 2 million was paid, about 2.5 million was paid to GBC, and 1 million was paid to a third party. But the Director General of GBC did not clarify that position. What that he said is that the total amount, the only amount that came to GBC was 105,000. I think that the Director General is not coming forward with the full information. If he has explained at that interview that yes, we received the entire 3.6 million from the Minister of Youth and Sport, but because we also engaged a third party, we have transferred the money to the third party, that would have settled the matter. So for me, the issue is now border on the Director General of GBC to explain. I've seen another letter which is coming from the Director General of GBC stating the various category of the third party that received the money. And when you sum up the figures on that letter, it's add up to about 3.4 million. It is not up to even 3.6 million. So there's another question there for the Director General to answer. But for us as a committee, we don't have any problem because this issue is just for public interest question. If it is part of the Auditor General report, we would have gone into detail and then recommend what action to be taken. But for now, I think it's something that both the Director General at GBC and as well as Minister of Youth and Sport to come out and reconcile the figures and let the public know.
Thank you very much, Honourable. That's the Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee there, Honourable James Kluge Avagi. Even that's it for sports.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bao. Now, let's focus on this particular issue also. Is $4 million, $111.4 million default. That's on the judgment debt ruling awarded against the Republic of Ghana by a district court in the United States of America. Now, we know that for close to 4 years, oil conglomerate Trafigura, through its Ghana Power Generation Company, has been on the heels of government of Ghana for terminating that power purchase agreement. Well, we've been hearing from former Power Minister Dr. Kwabena Donko on this, who's been taking on the Attorney General. But the Attorney General has been responding, dismissing some of the claims made by Dr. Kwabena Donko.
After the entry of the arbitral award, which is final, the only obligation left is for the state, which is the judgment debtor, to pay. So it is the failure of the government of Ghana to pay this judgment debt entered in January 2021. Which has led to repeated applications in various courts by GPGC. You remember that about some few months ago, our High Commissioner to England, Papa Wiso Ankuma, was actually on radio, on your network, lamenting the seizure of some assets and all that. And that was settled in such a way that the assets were released from attachment. The government of Ghana subsequently paid some amount of money, but it was not in full settlement of the judgment debt. So the judgment debt is still outstanding. So the explanation for the failure to pay now does not lie with the assessor. Okay. It lies with the Minister of Finance. It is actually a matter between Minister of Finance and Minister of Energy. And as far as I'm concerned, any role to be played by the assessor did not happen in my time or tenure.
So that's the Attorney General, Minister of Justice, Godfred Yeboah Dame. Evans, it's a Wednesday, and it's time for fact-checking.
And we are focusing on some recent claims made by Director of Communications of the Bawumia campaign, Dennis Miracles Abuaje, on the MPP's record when it comes to macroeconomic indicators. Head of our research desk, Raymond Akwa, has more on the claims and the verdicts in this report.
A record to have claimed that the MPP's...